Hey, Big Dreamers, welcome to another episode of the Big Dreamers podcast with the Fisayo. I am here today with the Shoves, and these are a couple I discovered on YouTube, and it has come full circle, if I would say, to get to actually speak with them and interview the people I, you know, watched just a few months ago, last year, and, you know, bring them on my platform to share their experiences with us. So now, why did I invite them? I found their story interesting. I know this season is focused on becoming. You know what? I feel like I'm going to start explaining to you everything we discussed. I'm just going to leave that for you to go and listen for yourself. But one thing that stood out to me was their commitment to each other. And knowing fully well that this season is focused on becoming, becoming can be anything. It can be, you know, in the entrepreneurship line of things. It could be in marriage. It could be in anything. So you take out of it what it is in relation to your season in your life. All right, enjoy, and I'll see you at the end of this podcast. Welcome to the Big Dreamers podcast. I am your host, Defisayo. This is a safe commute created to inspire big dreamers to dream bigger through the inspiring stories and life experiences of top influencers, industry leaders, and entrepreneurs. The theme for this season is becoming. Enjoy. All right. Thank you so much for today. God bless you. I have with me the Shoves, Abisola and Shei. So I want to know what inspired your name, the Shoves? Is that the name of like the hashtag of your wedding, or what made you choose?
Hashtag of wedding. Was that a thing when we got married? I don't think we had a hashtag.
I think that was right before
social media started doing the hashtag thing. What inspired our name is just the short form of his last name. His name is Shofolaho, and we just shortened it to Shof.
Awesome. Yeah. Why did you decide to start making videos on YouTube? By the way, before you joined, I mentioned that I discovered you both through YouTube and how your story is inspiring my friends and myself as well. Is that the reason behind starting, or why did you start?
No, well, no, I wouldn't say that wasn't the direct reason behind starting. I mean, yeah, that was always... We always kind of wanted to do something together, but it wasn't like, oh, now let's go create content on Instagram.
Yeah. I feel like our creative journey has been a very long journey. It started with me having a blog. Without him, it was just Abisola Shof was my blog. It was first Simple Ninja Girl, then Abisola Shof, and I just talked about whatever I felt like writing about. And
actually,
then,
before that, you were just writing in a journal.
Yes, I was writing in a journal, and then that journal became a blog. And then from the blog, I said, you know, hey, why don't we do a podcast? And then we started a podcast together. And then when the pandemic hit, like we noticed that a lot of our audience were people who were listening to podcasts like during their commutes to work. Mm-hmm. And because of the pandemic, they were not driving to work anymore. Everyone was working from home. So our views on the podcast, like our listens on the podcast, went down. Right. And so it was kind of time to pivot to something else. But I don't think we really knew what that something else was going to be. I just continued doing my blog, and then TikTok became a thing. And I was like, oh, do you want to do a dance with me on my page? And he did it. And then people really responded very nicely to it. And then we just continued doing it from there, and then YouTube got added on, and the rest is history.
So as a couple, is that from TikTok, then YouTube, then Instagram?
So the TikTok dance was actually on Instagram, because we didn't have TikTok then. We just got like a random trend on TikTok, and then we posted it on Instagram, and people like responded to it nicely, and we just continued to grow our Instagram. And then we're like, okay, let's open TikTok. And we started TikTok as well. And then people were like, oh, are you on YouTube? I can't find you on YouTube. I'm like, oh, we're supposed to be on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then,
So having all that platform, does that ever overwhelm you? Because I have denied the urge to start a TikTok, because I feel overwhelmed easily. Like I have a blog as well. I have a podcast. I have a YouTube. I have so many things. I have a 9-to-5. So I get overwhelmed easily. And I don't want to start something I'm not sure I can consistently commit myself to. So how did you balance that? Like, how do you guys... Plus, you have children. Jesus.
It's a crazy amount of work, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Because the one thing is, even though, yes, the video, Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, they all have their shorts and reels and whatnot. And you can post the same video to all the different platforms. If you really want to do well, you need to understand your audience on each platform and sometimes create content that is just for that one platform, but not the other ones. And that's a lot of work, a lot of time. And I mean, it can be understated. I'm sure you understand the journey, right? I think, between both of us, we handle it differently, right? Where for me, I do a lot of the creative, I come up with some of the creative ideas, maybe some of the crazy creative ideas, right? And she does more of the same creative ideas. There was a point where it was like primarily her editing, and then I took over doing a lot of the editing. Now we kind of just balance whoever has more time, go edit the video. And then combining that with work too, it was just
Yeah, it's a lot. I think for people who have the same question, I would say like prioritize one platform, like start there and really put in your best into that platform. And then when you feel like, okay, I have a rhythm going with this one, then you move on to the next. And I think that's what we did. We like first of all established Instagram and then we moved on to TikTok. And then we added YouTube. Even YouTube, we're still trying to find that rhythm. And now we just added Facebook is the recent, most recent thing. So yeah, it's but th there's no pressure, right? You just take your time and have that rhythm going first.
And have you ever regretted sharing your story on social media as a couple? Because one thing I know, there's the goods, which is the inspiring part for me, and like people coming into your private life and giving you opinions about how you should run your life.
I don't
I
think
think
that
there
was
was a time where
it used to get to
you
me.
used to get to you, the
Yeah,
comments
the
get to
comments used to
her.
get to
There
me.
were some times where, like some of the videos, we shot them four different times and published them four different versions to explain that this is what we mean and not this, just so people don't take offense. And I'm like, it's great engagement. Let them take offense. It's like it's
Yeah,
just
he
what it
doesn't
is.
care. But at some point, I think there was one time that it really, really got to me, especially the videos on talking about sickle cell. And some of the comments, like I think when our community watch our videos, they're like very nice because they get us. They know you a bit more deeper and they know a lot more context about you beyond just that short video that they're watching. But then the video started to like travel to the universe and it started to get like so many views. So the comments started to pour in and it started to get to me. And there was a time where I couldn't sleep, like when I see the comments. And he looked at me like, are you kidding? Like, this is how life is. Like everyone is just different. Like this, and he'll read the comments and he'll be like, no, it's not mean. There's nothing. I'm like, are you seeing the same comments I'm seeing? Like, I mean, everyone has different experiences, different backgrounds, different ways to process and understand information, different ways to interpret information. And this is just their own interpretation. And that's fine. Yours is yours and theirs is theirs, and they write theirs and you move on. And I started to just understand that it's not a me thing, it's a them thing. Like they have their opinion and they put it out there and I move, they move, like the world goes on. So now I see it. Before I used to delete trashy comments, I don't have
I was gonna say, do you ever feel the need to delete or block?
I used to before the thing comes in, boom, delete. I don't even process it, but now I just leave it there. I just let it stay.
I think typically there are different groups of comments, right? There's a nice comment, everybody wants that. There's a comment that is just a statement of facts, and there's a comment that is from people's experiences, right? So, for example, we talked about sickle cell and how like we took precautions and all, and then someone that had like family members die from sickle cell was like, don't ever do that. That's wicked. That's evil. And I get it. It can seem mean, right? But no, they've been through a very traumatizing experience. And so they're saying that, right? And then, of course, there are those that they're just haters, right? They do just say mean stuff for no reason. Like by the time you're going, oh, wow, your body looks like this and that, that's when it's moving away from, being talking about the situation and having an intelligent conversation or a passionate conversation and just being negative. Right. And I think those are the types of comments that, for me, I'm like, okay, yeah, forget they're not like, do we delete? Do we just leave them? But at some point now, our community actually just comes for them.
I know, right? That part is sweet. So now talking of like sickle cell, I literally just got off the phone with my brother. He was telling me bad news in respect to someone that he knows and it made me sad. For your story, like I said, is inspiring and it's like you guys were able to not just understand the situation, but also plan through it. So for people already in the situation of, oh, they are ASAS, and either they're about to get married or they are married but not haven't had a child yet, what is your advice to them?
What is our advice to them? I mean, prevention is better than cure, is what I would say. Like, I know a lot of people have said that, oh, there's advances in technology in terms of like, or advances in science in terms of like treating sickle cell, but it's always better to not even be in that position where you have to now treat it, or be in a position where you now have to start making decisions like, do I have to abort this baby or do I not have to? Like, it's just better not to be in that position at all. Like, there are people who have DM'd me like, what should I do? I'm like, it's like the best thing is to not be in that situation. So you do whatever you can to not be in that situation. And whatever you can mean you don't get married if you're not yet married. Like if that's an option to consider, like don't get married, that's valid. Like it's really a moment for you to pause and analyze, is this worth it for me to go through with this? So that's the first
And
option.
I think that option is very important because it's a true test of is your relationship more than just the emotions, right? Because for us, right, I think going through that experience and like going through that experience, right, dealing with parents for a period of like 1.5 years to 2 years of just, I could tell that my parents and I were not close and they were very unhappy with me, but still saying, this is what I want to do, right? That helps me make sure that, this is the right person. I had to go and pray and fast and double check and think and analyze and do everything possible to make sure this is the right person. And then not just this is the right person, this is a journey I'm willing to fight with this person, right? And it went, we came out stronger as a result, right? Like the thing that would shake us, I'm not sure, but it was a traumatizing 2 years that we had to go through. And that's just option one, right? You don't have to go with that. If you decide it's not worth it,
Go
you
your
can still
separate
be friends,
ways.
right? And hey, give each other a hug from afar, from near, but you don't have to be in a relationship. And then if you decide, it is worth it, then now you start looking at the options that are available. And there are a lot of options.
I would say a lot, but there are options.
There
Like
are,
for the
right?
people who are already married, like you can decide, you know what, it's not worth the risk. Let's just not have kids. You go do whatever you have to do. It's a valid option. Like if you really want to get married so badly and you're like, I would make that sacrifice not to have kids, there are people that have done it and they just don't have kids and it's okay. And there are people who are like, I really want to have a baby, but what do I do? You can adopt a child. It's valid. It's so valid. Like I really want people to consider these options. You can also go through treatments. You can do the IVF and PGD treatments or what the science behind it, which is what we did, and go through it. Again, it's not for everyone. It is expensive. It is emotionally tasked. Everyone has its pros and cons, obviously, but these are things to weigh before you make that
And
decision.
I will say we actually really considered adoption, right? Like that was actually one option we truly considered. The reason it did not work out is because, as you can imagine, America is so complex to go through. It's actually more expensive to adopt and more lengthy to adopt than to go through IVF.
It's not as straightforward, and it was, I think it was even the emotional roller coaster of adoption
Because
that
the
I
way it
was
works in America is you don't officially adopt, you're like a foster parent
like first.
for a few years and for a period of time, and if everything works, then yeah, they become your adopted kids, unless you like adopt from when they're like very young, but then that process is also just so complex.
You should talk, whoever is considering this, talk to an adoption expert or lawyer, whatever they are, because there were different routes for adoption as well. It's
That
not just,
sounds sad. Like, is this something, do you consider coming to Nigeria to adopt?
girl, sorry.
That's okay.
That was what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, at the time we were like on our work visas, you can't, I mean, unless we were going to stay in Nigeria for, I think the period was like a year
You have
or
to be
something
in Nigeria for a
with
year
the
and leave
person,
the
with the
kid with the
child.
child before you can bring them here.
So yeah, unfortunately, it wasn't, the way it worked out, it wasn't an option, and I can't just leave with a work visa. Like, what is going to take me back? It just didn't make sense. Like, if we were US citizens, I think that may have been an easier route to go, but yeah.
Oh, we did. We checked. We
We
checked all
checked
these
everything. But
options.
anyway, all this to say is like, one, the fact that Bisola and Sheyi did one thing does not mean that that's the option for the next person. We literally are just like providing information for you to go do some more research, go do some more thinking and praying and just really asking God for guidance. Like for some couples, them realizing that their sickle cell carriers may be God's way of saying, yo, go your separate ways. And for some others, it may be God's way of saying, this is the test that I'm giving to you and go figure it out. You know, so again, the end goal is we don't want whoever the couple should not have a child with sickle cell. And whatever way you do to get there, just do what you can to get to that point that you don't just gamble your way through and bring in a child that has
Yeah,
sickle cell disease.
absolutely.
By the way, for anyone listening, you should go and watch, because I watched your IVF story of how it was like a lot of roller coaster emotionally for you, just because of the injections and all of that. So if you're curious to know what that is like, please go to the shelves on YouTube to go watch their videos. I was like, while listening to your first advice on go your pathway, that's not an easy decision for, especially for someone like you guys. So if anyone is looking towards like being like you, it would be to, you know, look for the other medical ways of.
Yes. And I will say one thing, none of the decisions are actually easy. Every single one of them are hard. Like the IVF, the reality is that not everyone can afford it, especially depending on
Yeah.
what country you have. Not everyone has it easily accessible as well. So you have to consider like what is realistic for me and my spouse. Like, and then unfortunately, if you can't afford it, then you don't have that option. You know what I mean? Like we were blessed that we had, you know, we had insurance and we could, whatever was left, we could pay for it. But if you can't pay for it, then you can't just say, oh, well, we tried, oh, we're gonna do this. But then since that's not an option, you just, you know,
Yeah.
gamble your way through. That's
Yeah.
not, you
For your
know.
first child, una talk say una no plan now.
Unfortunately, and that's one thing that people have to
Yeah.
like, that's one thing you really have to be in crazily intentional about this. Like, you
Yeah.
can't afford to make that mistake. You can't afford to be in a position where it's not a fun position to be in, where you're like, okay, what do I do? I mean,
It
we
for
didn't have to make
16
that.
weeks,
Yeah. And
we
like,
didn't know what the
imagine
result
people who
was.
waited that long and then they find out that the child has sickle cell and then they have to make that tough decision. I've talked to people in that situation of where you have to make that tough decision. So you literally have to do what it takes. And when I talk to couples now, the first thing I say is, you have to, when I say triple dose on your birth control, like it's not a joke. You, some people were like, oh, I can't use condoms when I'm married. I don't care. You have to, if you're making this decision, you literally have to do what it takes to make sure you don't be in that situation that we were
So
in.
let me speak to the guys, because I know guys like to, come up with reasons that, oh, it's okay, I'll do what it takes. I'm an expert, though. Yeah, everything, right? Guys, we know ourselves. We know all the games we play and the things we say. Area, and I play those games in a sense, right? That's how we had our first son, right? And I'm glad for him. I'm thankful that it's very fine, but I can't imagine how I'll feel every day if it turned out that he actually had sickle cell, right? I'll be like, oh yeah, well, but I wasn't trying to. It was a mistake. Nah, I'm not going to be telling that it's a mistake. It's the son I'll be telling is a mistake for his entire life, right? So, you don't want to just take that chance to gamble.
Yeah, there's so much that we can say. I don't want to divert this podcast away, but yeah, you have to do, literally, when I say you have to do what it takes, it's what birth control methods. Like, there's no one single one. I think we talked about this in the latest sickle cell video. Like, no one single birth control method is 100%. So do what it takes, i.e., layer up. And once you're done having kids, again, do what it takes.
There is a
Like,
100%.
yeah, that was gonna be my next question. And now I assume you've put a full stop. So what birth controls would you advise once you say, okay, I've done my children?
It's a personal decision for everyone.
Okay,
You
just ask any question. Let's hear.
can answer it since you seem like I wasn't
No,
gonna share our own
why
personal.
not? Everybody
That's
should know
okay.
what
That's
I'm saying.
okay.
So, I think initially when we had the first kid, no, before the first kid, it was more of the pills. Right. And then, but the problem with the pills is we traveled to Nigeria and we forgot the pills.
Not that we
And
forgot, but yeah, time changes
oh,
and
I guess time
everything.
changes one way or the other. We didn't take the pills when we went to Nigeria. And the son was conceived in Nigeria, that kind of thing. And so you want to make sure if you're on the pills, like you need to understand what that means, right? You can't every day you need to make sure you take it. On the other hand, there's also the IUD process, right? The IUD is, you put it there, it's there for about
I like
seven
how we're
years.
educating people on birth control.
It is
It's
there
needed.
for about 7 years, but guess what? We have a friend that, after her youngest son is 7 years old, even with the IUD inside, a new baby came out. And so
Wow.
she's like, God, where am I starting from again?
But they don't have the sickle cell issue. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, unexpected, unplanned.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so if you have the sickle cell now, you have to take that precaution plus an extra precaution, right?
Yeah.
The safest method for guys, for example, is cut, 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 right? Somebody's trying to
Yeah, a
miss.
lot of Nigerians don't like
Yeah.
to get a vasectomy is what he's trying to say. But you have to do again, you're making a decision that is risky, and so you're not like any other regular couple. You have to do what it takes to make sure that you don't have a child with sickle cell. If that means tying your womb, tying your tubes, if that means getting a vasectomy, you have to do what you have to do. So once you're done having kids, do the needful.
I'm thinking, I think I don't know. I might know someone that did tie their womb and probably still got pregnant. So I'm not too sure right now. Now,
Like a woman still got pregnant.
yes, I know a lady that she has had like maybe five children and she was probably tired of having children. And then maybe that was not the particular one she did. She mentioned she did the particular birth control process, but she
Have
still
been
got
the IUD, because
okay.
theoretically they're not supposed to get pregnant with an IUD, but in very rare cases, right, it's like 99.999, and God forbid that you're at that 0.0001%. You get it's unfortunate.
And the
Yeah.
kid comes out holding an IUD like this. But yeah.
So with all this decision making and all, I feel like it has had a toll on you emotionally at the beginning and in the phases of having children. Now it goes back to, why did you choose each other? Or why did you know Abisola was one for? Why did you know Shei was one for? What were the things you looked out for in choosing? Like, okay, this is my man and this is my woman. What made you so convicted? What were the guiding principles?
I don't think that I woke up one day and I was like, okay, I'm gonna choose him.
I
Like,
know your story, by the way. I
yeah,
know how you
okay.
guys, yes, but like, what made you know, okay, this is my man?
Yeah. So I mean, for people who are listening and don't know us, like we started out, at least I started out being friends with him, and like we grew a very close relationship together. That literally, like, essentially it was almost like we lived our lives together. I mean, we lived separately, but we were so our lives were so interwoven. Like we literally did everything together from wherever we were. And I think it got to the point where like you're just so close to this person. I just like the natural next step is like, duh, why aren't you guys getting married? You know? So I think that's the point that we got to. But in terms of like what made me, like when we realized, okay, we both have the sickle cell traits, like why did I feel like, okay, this is really the one? That's an interesting question. Do you want to answer that one?
I think that's tough, but I think, you know, prior to that, right, as she said, we'd gotten close, we were very convinced that we had that conviction that, you know, we were right for each other. Before we even started dating, we prayed. I know a lot of couples pray, and that's fine. I'm not saying that was good or bad, but we prayed, right? And it was like, you know, we got the go ahead and we started dating. And through it, like I guess the way we respected each other, the way our goals aligned, the way our thinkings aligned, the way
Right.
we kind of complemented each other in terms of where I'm strong, she's weak, where she's weak, or where she's strong, I'm weak, that kind
Yeah.
of thing. Those are all recipes for a good relationship. The way we enjoyed each other's company, regardless of what the situation was, those were things that were like, okay, these are the fundamentals that I want in a person, right? A person that I can laugh with regardless of the situation, a person I can cry with regardless of the situation. She's still yet to see me cry. Don't worry about that.
I've seen you cry
When? When?
before.
Nah, just kidding. So those are a lot of things. And so when this situation came, so I think one of the things that actually led to us, made it harder for us to break the relationship was I proposed, and then like a month or two after that, we discovered, you know, the sickle
Right.
cell
Yeah.
situation. And so it's like, oh crap, what happens? Do we break the proposal? Because by the time I proposed, I was already convinced, right? There was no going back for me. And so it was like I had kind of passed that emotional and mental hurdle that this is a person I'm committing myself to. And so when that came, it was like I think that was one challenge. But then, you know, for all the other things I said, right? The relationships I'd built, the friendship I'd built, it
Yeah.
was like, I don't. Like there can be a million other people out there, but I don't want to build this relationship with them, right? This is a person I want that relationship with. Like, I think ultimately, like, so for a guy, right, can you say that no matter the number of people out there, you're just going to close your eyes and this is your one person forever? And if you can say that, right, then I think that was one thing I was able to say that made me say, you know what, this is something worth fighting for, especially as there are potential ways to avoid this.
I think the one thing I liked that he mentioned was like just being in sync in terms of like the way our thought process and the things that like just the way that our brains operate. Like, yeah, I get this thing and he gets it too. I think if you have to like every night you're calling up your girlfriends and you're like, ah, you won't believe what John did today. Like, man, why would he like if you're just if something is off about the way that someone acts, or you just think that, oh, why did he spend money on this? Or why did he think it was appropriate to text in the bathroom? Like, if there's just something that's like always throwing you off, I think it's just a red flag. Like, you shouldn't be asking those kind of questions. Like, that's not normal. When your partner does something, you should get it. Like, you should get why they're doing it. Like, and everyone operates differently. I think you have to find that person that operates at the wavelength that you operate. Like, it's not bad to spend money on a new car, if it's the right, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it has to be right for you and them. It has to make sense.
Yeah, and just to add to that. Also, when we say we were in sync on a lot of things, right? It doesn't mean like we're twins and everything was the
No,
same. So
no.
I can give you examples, right? Like when we're dating, I could eat everything under the sun, and then she's a very picky eater. And so when we go to a restaurant, get something, and I'm like, no, just eat it tasty. And she's like, no, that thing used to like burn me on the inside. But then was it a deal breaker for me? Nah, it's a trivial thing, right? So we were in sync in that, but that. In the grand scheme of things, that did not matter, right? Or another example is I was the kind of person like I wake up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., I'm working on a business idea and all. And she was more of like, I take like chill and calm kind of person, right? At that time,
I
now she's
miss
no
those
longer like
days.
that. But I mean, I was like, why just let's get something done. And she's like, why? I've worked, I've had my busy day. Now it's my time to relax. It was, yeah, I was like, I don't understand it, right? But was I a deal breaker? No, because why? We aligned on the most important things, right? We aligned on our vision. Well, we aligned on our relationship with God and our values. We aligned on our vision. We aligned on how we spend money. We aligned on, the things
Right.
that
That
mattered.
matter
And
to
so
us,
all
yeah.
those trivial things, I mean, they didn't
Yeah.
matter.
By the way, you guys are influencing relationships. So also, when you mentioned the way you spend money, I just remember that I watched a video on how you guys plan your finances, which is really amazing. I love it. Now this question is for Abisola. How did you feel in the moment, the 2 years where it seemed like his parents did not accept your relationship? Like, they didn't accept you, but they didn't accept your relationship, but it might have felt like it was you they did not accept. But how did you feel?
Not good. I don't think anyone likes to know, like, I'm at least for me, I like to know what's happening and then I just plan accordingly. I think if it was just like okay, we're not getting married, and then I know, okay, I bakamu, like I just whatever the English translation is,
Take them
I
as to
accept
be.
it, yes. And then I just move forward with my life and I cry the tears and I move forward. I think that for me, I would have preferred to like that's just being in like limbo, like I don't know what's happening. And at some point I almost feel like when you're rejected, even though it feels like you're being rejected, it's not you they're rejecting, it's the sickle cell issue that they're rejecting. It almost starts to feel like, oh my God, is it me? But I know it's not, that's but again, it's hard to separate those things. But I mean, now we've been married for so long that I know where their intent was. It just was a matter of time. And this would be my advice to anyone, is like time has a way of just working things out. Like, even though it may not even be a sickle cell related thing or something that you're waiting for, like honestly, like in everything in my life, I realized like if you just kind of just wait and just let time work things out, it will show you more clearly. Like, don't be in a rush to just say, okay, I'm gonna ignore this and I'm just gonna get married, or I'm gonna ignore this sign and I'm gonna move to a new city anyway. Like, just let time work things out and it'll be clear whether or not you should move forward with that decision or whether it's just a bad idea altogether. But time has a way of working things out. You just have to be patient.
Thank you so much. So now, in the 2 years, would you say having friends to encourage you helped? Would you say prayer was the major thing? I know you mentioned time, when the time was 2 years, 365 days times two. So in that 2 years, how did you manage the emotions?
Oh, for me
Yes,
or
please.
for you? Okay. I don't know. I was sad a lot of the time, to be honest. I mean, I just prayed about it. I prayed a lot. I prayed so much. I prayed for guidance because at the end of the day, I also didn't want to get it wrong. Like, I just really like, and I don't know if I said this before, but I just told God, I'm like, God, I wish you can just come and just tell me like yes or no. Like, I literally want to do your will. Like, if it's not your will, like, psh, forget it. I don't care. Everything will be fine in the long run. I'll get over him. So I think just like, I just really wanted to know, like, God, what is your will? So we prayed so much. We fasted.
You took a month apart.
Yeah, we took time
Oh.
apart to like just focus on God. And yeah, I just lived my life. At some point, it's like, we move, man. Like, I lived my life. I was in school. I did what I had to do. I was in grad school then. So.
And I think in that 2 years, quite a number of people are shooting at their shots at you, right?
Because fine girls,
Ooh,
it's
ooh. It's not like she was just sitting down. They were shooting shots like this, like, and
a
then
fine girl. Just kidding. How did
I was in New York then, and so she was telling me that on the phone that this person just pretty much was doing all this, and I'm like,
you
Rrr.
feel? Yeah. My wife. The reason why I'm not asking Shay is because I believe like on YouTube you shared how you stood your ground. You already made your mind already, and it was about like, Daddy, I'm waiting for you. Me, I've already gotten here. I'm waiting for you to come and join me. But for you too, as a man, how did that feel?
I mean, it was a bit frustrating, right? Like, once again, I can't fault them. I completely understand. Like, this was something that from the time I think I remember one of my first memories. I was told that Shey Magbeobirin AS Wale. Like, don't bring a lady that is AS to the house, essentially. And so, like, I completely understood where they were coming from. But then for me, I'm the kind of person, like, if there's a solution, why are you looking at a problem? Right? Like if there's a way, if your car is not working and you need to get to work, don't just keep looking at your car that is not working. Call the tow truck, catch a bus, call Uber, just move. Right. And so that's why for me, I did my research and I took all the analysis to them. I got a doctor friend to explain the solution to them. I sent them the research. They went to talk to their people. And after all the research, I was like, okay, but why are you trying to go to Kaduna when there are options in Lagos, that kind of thing, right? Why are you trying to go the hard way when there's an easier way? And I told him, I get it, but that's because the gold in Kaduna is more precious than gold in Lagos. Like if you get it, right?
A energy.
So in the end, I wanted their blessings. But I also did not want to compromise on what I knew was right after all the prayer and the thinking and the experiences that I had. And then in the end, like for me, the biggest thing is this, right? The person you marry, like I see how my parents' relationship are, and I see how together they've reached where they are, right? In terms of raising kids, in terms of their happiness, in terms of everything. And so the person you marry is like the most important decision you can ever make. And so,
After giving your life to Christ, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
your life surprise. And so it's like, if I've found the right person and that's the right decision. Why would I now go and ultimately, this was actually what went through my head. If I found the right person, right, based on all the criteria that are important for a good marriage, well, I want to compromise and now go and start searching again for someone else, right? That was the thing. And so eventually, like, I gave them a year. I was like, okay, great. Second year, I was like, okay, have you made up your mind? I've sent you the data. I can send it again. Then 6 months to actually when we got married, we planned our wedding in 3 months and got married in 3 months. But 6 months, I was like, okay, daddy, I've given you, I didn't say it to him more. But I think you could tell that, okay, I'm giving you a year and a half. Very soon. If you don't make a decision, I'll just send you a marriage certificate, that kind of thing. I didn't say that to him, but everything about my attitude said that. And so I think they realized that, okay, he's not budging. He has waited for a year and a half. He has honored us because he wants, what a child is supposed to do. But at some point, if he keeps holding on, then it's our loss, right? And we'll not be there to enjoy the special day.
All right, thank you so much for sharing that. Going into your relationship, how has being a Christian helped you? Like even in marriage. That's one question. Second question is counseling. What role has counseling played in marriage and before marriage?
Counseling, I don't think we've, I think we could do better. Yes, we
We did
could
a
do,
lot of those primary course.
premarital. Yes, we did the premarital obligations, but not so much after marriage. I think that honestly, we counsel one another. Like we
Wow.
ways to, I mean, she is very easygoing and I am also very easygoing as well. And I think what helps us is that we hear each other out. Like no one person always like when he does have strong opinions, but when he communicates, his goal is I'm trying to explain where I'm coming from. And he doesn't want to impose it. He just really wants you to understand it and then see if you get it too or what you're thinking as well. So I think that we're able to just kind of like have like that kind of healthy exchange, like even when we don't agree on things. I don't think that there's ever been a case where we're like, okay, we're hitting heads on something and we have to take it out to a counselor. Do you feel that way?
I can't think of one. I mean, yeah, we've had pretty important disagreements, but every relationship, work relationship, of everything, you have disagreements on things, but the goal of disagreement is to arrive at the best position.
Yeah, and best
So yeah.
position does not always have to be it's me or it's him. It could also be that we reason it together and we come up with a different solution that neither of us were even thinking. But the most important thing is just like we communicate about those things and arrive at a decision. And also like always involve God, like always just pray about everything. Always just seek God's guidance in everything because we don't know it all. Like our wisdom is so limited. So.
And I think that other part is kind of like, in everything we try to do what honors God, right? And how we raise our kids and the decisions we make. Yeah, there are times we just make decisions, right? But in general, I think our default mindset is let's do something that's in line with God's will, right? And so while we may not necessarily pray about every decision or read our Bible, that's just kind of our orientation, right? And so that's kind of how, God is involved in everything around in terms of our relationship.
All right, thank you very much. So now, what is one final thing you want to share? I mean, maybe 30 seconds, for couples listening, and we'll get your Instagram handles as well for people to follow you.
Oh gosh, that's a lot of pressure. For couples listening, your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is not the one you should be fighting. I promise you that if you guys like actually work together, you can achieve so much more than if you did like working separately. So just kind of like just put your guard down and try to enjoy and have fun in your marriage. Maybe going outside of the norm to do things like that you typically wouldn't do. Maybe just taking a walk outside of your house, even just that, like step out of the house, go take a walk together, go enjoy the fresh air if you have nice weather. But anyway, like my point is just like just see your spouse as your best friend, and that would change your perspective. Before you know, you're wanting to serve them, you're wanting to do things for them, and it's not all about me or what I want. So yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you want to add anything, Mr. Shea?
I mean, I'd say, if there's anything you're not happy about with your spouse, take a look inside and probably work on yourself. And you'll find out very soon that it's actually not so much about your spouse, but it may be about you. Right. And then, if there are truly things that you're not happy about your spouse and it's truly not about you, right? Then have that conversation in the most loving way, right? But maybe if it's a guy, cook the best meal for the person. If it's a lady, buy the best gift for the person, like whatever the way they receive love, but have it in the most loving way because your goal is to build a happy marriage that stands for a long time.
All right, thank you. And just like I said on YouTube, which is a video that will be out, yes, there's a video version of this podcast episode. I wish I had a longer time with them, because there's so much I could learn from them, as far they've gone ahead of us. So let us learn. Number one. Number two, yeah, I'm look also looking forward to knowing what you've also learned. Feel free to share it on social media, maybe on tweet, most likely Instagram, because that's where I'm most active, but you can share on Twitter as well. Maybe a screen recording or a sentence of something you learned. And tag myself, tag the shops, and tell us what you learned essentially. For me, one thing that I I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast episode is the fact that they were committed to each other. They were willing to fight for each other. And it takes two to make it work. If it was just one person, it would not work. That's number one. Number two, they were solution-driven. So you know how in life, there's always going to be a problem. But if you choose to focus on the problem, you're never going to see a way out. So they were looking forward to way out or ways out. Is that the correct English? Someone please feel free to correct me. and they found one and God helped them, honestly. I'm sure it was not an easy journey. Yeah. Feel free to also share your thoughts on social media again. Again, please feel free to share this podcast episode with your friends, your families. Share on Twitter as well. Share on Instagram. And please follow the shops on Instagram, on YouTube, on TikTok at The Shops. That is THESHOFS. And follow me at The Fisayo on my blog as well. I have a blog, it's TheFisayo.com. I have a YouTube channel and every other thing is called The Fisayo. That's THEFISAYO. Now, YouTube, the video edition of this podcast is going to be out on YouTube tomorrow. So please stay tuned. Go to my YouTube now and subscribe if you haven't. And subscribe to this podcast as well if you haven't, okay? Yeah, by God's grace, till next time, don't forget to stay awesome, stay inspired, and next time will be next month by God's grace in Jesus' name. Amen. This podcast is going to be released once a month. Now, why I talk, I'm all right. Bye-bye, guys. Stay blessed.